the story. The solemn oath began like this. I do swear, and as I shall have to answer to God as the great day of judgment, I shall not nor shall I have in my possession any gun, sword, pistol, or arm whatsoever. So did the heel of England stand heavily on the throat of its conquered enemy in a pledge signed at gunpoint to ensure that the enemy could make war no more. And the oath concluded, and if I do so, may I be cursed in my undertakings, family, and a property. May I never see my wife and children, father, mother, and relations. May I be killed in battle as a coward and lie without Christian burial in a strange land far from the graves of my forefathers and kindred. May all of this come across me if I break my oath. Well, that pledge was the cornerstone of a parliamentary edict called the Disarming Act of 1746. It did more than render impotent the adversary of the hour. It scared the daylights out of our American forefathers, anxiously eavesdropping an ocean away. Makes even more sense now, doesn't it? That so-called right to bear arms, which was later prominently situated in our own nation's beloved Bill of Rights. Well, anyway, in those years preceding the American struggle for independence, there was a desperate conflict between England and another people, culminating in the Battle of Culloden. Most alarming of all, as far as Lord Chancellor Hardwicke was concerned, England came very close to losing that war. So Hardwicke rammed the new disarmament legislation through Parliament, whereupon one at a time men were forced to step forward from the enemy ranks and swear under oath that they possessed no weapons, especially the dreaded filibeg. The filibeg? The filibeg. That was the weapon England feared most. An enemy contrivance so threatening, so powerful, that if you were seen with a filibeg, or if you merely owned one without using it, you most likely would have been shot, bayoneted, and burned alive. The filibeg was mentioned in that personal oath to disarm. Oh, yes, it was. Along with all the more conventional weapons of war, the filibeg was expressly and strictly banned, and yet so proud was England's enemy of having invented the filibeg that not even an act of Parliament could bring the filibeg to extinction. And so, in 1782, after 36 agonizing years, the act prohibiting the filibeg was repealed. And the filibeg remains to this day a symbol of the culture that England tried to kill but could not. For you see, filibeg is simply a traditional name for a certain article of apparel which the world even now identifies with a particular people, the people of the Highlands of Scotland, who once fought fiercely for their own independence from England. And the filibeg, that short skirt-like cloth emblazoned with the tartan design of one's clan, for merely donning that tartan skirt, a Highlander could have been burned alive. And yet, because it represented everything that he was and everything in which he believed, he continued defiantly to wear it. All your life, you've heard the lighthearted query, what does a Scotsman wear under his kilt? Well, now you know. It's his heart. Because now you know the rest of the story.